Jesus. Spirit of God, we depend on you this morning. You are the breath of God. Oh, breath of God, breathe upon us fresh revelation from above. My dear one, my lover, we are before you. Cover us with your wings. We take authority over the atmosphere. We take authority over every force of darkness that will be against this service this morning. We declare an embargo on you. We lock your powers. And we declare that Jesus Christ will be glorified and be Lord over this service. In the name of Jesus, eyes will be opened, lives will be transformed, addictions will be broken. The lives of men shall encounter Jesus Christ. Men shall grow in the name of Jesus Christ. Healings will take place, miracles will be released. The lives and destinies of men shall be set loose, and your name shall be glorified. Thank you, Father, that you are Lord over this service. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Please be seated. I'm excited this morning to share the word of God with you. Now, like our brother Minister Godwin said, we began a very important series based on our theme for the year, which is our year of glory. Now, I want you to seriously be in alignment with this theme, because you being in alignment with the theme of the ministry can have a great influence of your life or in your life. We were looking at the second pursuit for the manifestation of the glory of God. Like we always said, glory by virtue of the Holy Spirit tabernacles in every believer. Every believer, by virtue of salvation, has glory resident in your spirit. But we said that there are certain things that, or protocols that we need to obey to activate and have them flow in our lives in abundance. We said the first pursuit for the manifestation of glory is wisdom. And we explained a lot. Please go to our podcast and get the teaching, and you will be blessed. And we said also that the second pursuit for the manifestation of glory is power. We spoke about the reason why every believer needs the power of God. We also spoke about the five powers that have been provided for the church. And last week we began to look at the keys of accessing this power in our lives. We said the first key to access the power of God is spiritual hunger. It is the currency for purchasing spiritual power. Number two, we said knowledge and the practice of the word of God. Number three, we said faith and obedience, because obedience is the key to power. Very important. Number four, we said waiting on God through prayer and fasting. Number five, we said joy, thanksgiving, praise, and worship. I'm not talking about what we do in service. I'm talking about something you build personally, where on a daily basis you have an altar, where you have a system you set in place, where you praise God, you thank Him, and you worship Him. It's one very serious key to the power of God. Number six, we said purity and holy living. We said some very important things regarding, that's where we stopped last week. I'm going to continue a bit, then we go to the final one, and then look at the last bit of what God wants to share with us today. Hallelujah. Now, it's very important that Christians understand that, listen carefully, power is 75% holiness. I need to teach you. Power is 75% holiness. I repeat myself for the third time. Power is 75% holiness. Which means that if you want to experience a dimension of power in your life, I'm giving you the secret. 75% of power is accessed through the key of holiness. Several times in scripture, we have seen God admonish believers to walk in holiness and purity. Many times we don't really understand why God is expecting that from us. You see, I know it's very difficult to live pure in these last days. But you see, every excuse you give, which is the reason why you're not living a pure life, is the very reasons and excuses others had yet decided to live holy. In the days of Daniel, there was corruption all over. But Daniel decided he will not be defiled. Joseph also had an access. He had a chance to defile himself, but he chose not to. So in every generation, there is difficulty in living pure. But through the help of the Holy Spirit, every child of God can live pure. Why? Because the word of God says so. I want to share quickly with you about 10 or 11 reasons why we are to live righteously. Why must the believer live righteously? Apart from the power of God. Number one, please pay attention to this. We must live righteously because we love the Lord. Why do you live righteously? Is it because you fear hell? Is it because you are afraid you go to hell? That's a very poor motivation. We live righteously, according to John chapter 4, the verse 23, because we love the Lord. And because we love the Lord, we want to obey Him. John chapter 14, the verse 23. The Bible says, John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And this is very interesting. One of the key reasons why we live in holiness is because we love God. We love Him so much and we want to obey Him. And if we truly want to obey Him, God is against unholy living. Because it defiles us. And because we love Him, we choose to do the things that are pleasing in His sight. The second reason why we must live a holy life is because we know His will. Colossians chapter 1, the verse 9 to 11, Apostle Paul prayed that we be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, the verse 10 tells us why we should be filled with the knowledge of His will. That we might walk worthy of the Lord. Which means when we are filled with the knowledge of His will, it affects our walk. So we live holily or we live pure lives because we know His will. Anyone who has a revelation of the will of God concerning his life will be careful about his walk. You don't live anyhow when you know God's will. Praise God. 1 John chapter 2, the verse 3 and 4. 1 John chapter 2, the verse 3 and 4. Now watch, the Bible says, and hereby we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. We know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. Listen to me. Knowing God is not book knowledge. It's experiential knowledge. We don't know God from Bible school. We don't know God just from reading. We know God from experience. And you see, experience only comes by practice.
If you find anyone who says he knows God, he can quote 1,000 scriptures, and his life is not in alignment with what he's reading, he's fake. So knowing God is not grammar. Preaching nicely is an experience you have with God. It's an encounter you have with God, which influences you so much. He says, hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Which means if you don't keep the commandments of God, you don't know him. Look at the verse 4. The Bible says, he that said, I know him. Now look at that. And keepeth not his commandments is a liar. Which means there are so many liars in church. Whoever says, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Number three reason why we live holily is because we have his nature in us. We have his nature in us. A bird will give birth to a bird. And that bird that is giving birth to will fly like a bird. Behave like its mother. Behave like its father. So, your nature determines your conduct. Are we following this thing? Your root determines your fruit. So, we live holy lives because it is in our nature. It is in our DNA to be holy. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, the verse 14 and 15. Now watch that. 1 Peter 1, 14 and 15. The Bible says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to your former lust in your ignorance. Now, this is very interesting. The Bible is telling us that when you got, or before you got born again, you had a former lifestyle. You did things the way you wanted it to. You made decisions without God, without considering God's word. You spoke anyhow. You acted anyhow. You thought anyhow. And the Bible is telling us that the new life we have is very different. So Peter helped us to understand that as obedient children, which means every child of God was born with the capacity to obey God. So he already calls you an obedient child before you obey him. Which means inside you is obedience. And he says, not fashioning yourself according to your former lust in your ignorance. Now, he's saying that all the things you were doing when you didn't have Jesus Christ, you did them because you were ignorant. So to a large extent, a believer who is living in sin is doing that deliberately. Now, look at the next verse. He says, but as he which has called us is holy, so be ye holy in what? All manner of, can I hear you? Conversation. Now word conversation is not me talking to you. Give that to me in NLT so you understand. Let me break it down for you. Now, he says in NLT, quickly. He says, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. So if God tells you to be holy, he's not telling you to do something you are not. He's telling you to do something you already are. Are you following this thing? So we live holy lives because it is in us to be holy. In fact, sin is a strange reality in you. Strange. It's very hostile to your new nature in Christ Jesus. Number four, we live holy lives because rewards are at stake. Rewards are at stake. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the verse 11 to 15, we need to understand that our conduct, our lifestyle, the way we live after we get born again really matters. You know, there's a teaching that says that what you do with your body does not matter as long as you are in Christ. Please, that is false teaching. That's false teaching. What you do really matters. Listen, if what you do doesn't matter, in the book of Revelation, when Jesus was talking to the churches, he wouldn't have said, I know your works. If your works didn't matter. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Which means Christ is your foundation. Now observe the next verse. He says in the verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, it mentions six building materials. So your life, the quality of your life is measured in six building materials. How you live, how you talk, how you serve in God's house. Your behavior as a child of God is measured in six building materials. Number one is gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Now, these are six building materials. You can build your life with any of these six materials. But the challenge is in the next verse. The Bible says, every man's what? Work. He didn't say every man's faith. Every man's work will be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Listen, every life you are living, remember there is a judgment day. There is a day that will come that you appear before Jesus Christ to give an account of what you did with the body he purchased. And the Bible says, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's what? Work of what sort it is. Next verse. He says, and if any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So we shall be rewarded based on our works. Which means every act of holiness you did on earth will be rewarded. Every action you take shall be rewarded. So listen carefully. Look at the next verse, the verse 15. He says, if any man's work shall be burned, which means many Christians will have losses, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Hallelujah. So we live holy lives because rewards are at stake. Number five, we live holy lives because we owe our lives to Christ. We owe our lives to him. We owe our lives to him. He gave his life for us. It is wisdom for you to give your life to him. I'm teaching good, yeah? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians 5, 14, 15. The Bible says, for the love of Christ constrained us, because we judged us that if one died for all, then all were dead. Next verse. He says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So listen, when you live a holy life, it is because you owe your life to him. You owe your new life to him. Hallelujah. Number six. We live a holy life, or we live in purity, because we understand consequences. Because we understand consequences. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 9. We need to understand that every life we are living today is a seed. Every life you are living today is a seed. Never be surprised at the results of your life. Everything you are experiencing in life is as a result of seeds you have been sowing over the days, over the weeks, and over the years. If you sow a seed of wrong confession, wrong speeches, you harvest it. It's just a matter of time. I know of a young man who kept saying he's going to die at the age of 30. He died exactly at the age of 30. So your words, your deeds, your conduct are seeds that you're sowing. And there are some things some believers are doing today. You may not see the damaging results now, but when you sow a seed, there are sometimes it takes time for the seeds to harvest. We live pure lives because there are consequences of our actions. It is not every time that you escape an abortion. You may one day lose your womb. It's not every time you escape sleeping with someone's wife. It's not every time you escape taking monies you know God did not give to you, or monies you did not work for. It's not every time. It's a seed you're sowing. Galatians chapter 6, the verse 7 to 9. Now, look, the Bible says, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. So, your life is a seed. Now, watch the next verse, the verse 8. He says, he that soweth to his flesh. So, if you sow to carnality, if you sow to evil, if you sow to sin, the Bible says, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Life everlasting. So hear me. Your life is a seed. Number 7, we live holy lives because we fear and reverence the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. We fear and reverence the Lord. The fear of God will keep you from evil. He that feareth the Lord will eschew evil. You know, we read a verse last week in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. The Bible says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated evil. These are two different things altogether. It is possible for you to love righteousness, but you don't hate evil and iniquity. You can accommodate it. You love righteousness. But when people are doing evil around you, you tolerate it. But the Bible said, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Which means, as long as you are around, your roommate in your room, what they do matters to you. You can never entertain your roommate bring a woman into the hostel where you are sleeping to defile themselves when you are there. That is hating iniquity. You know, some Christians can allow it. He says, oh, we all pay for the room, so we all pay for the bed. You all pay for the bed, but you didn't pay for immorality. If they want to do what they want to do in the room, they should go somewhere else. But as long as you are living in the room, because anything that happens, the demons they brought with the immorality, it will affect yourself. So you must hate iniquity. I just can't stand trying to make up with someone's wife. I'm afraid. Not only so, I hate it. I hate adultery. It is something I've come to hate. So, it can't happen in my life through the help of God. But you see, you must develop a strong hatred for sin. I'm telling you. Develop a hatred for sin. It will help you. There is a hatred I have for masturbation. I hate it. I've once been bound before. When I came into the light, delivered by the Holy Ghost, I have come to hate it. So this is something I literally hate. I can't find myself removing my trousers. I hate it. That was love, righteousness, and hated iniquity. Therefore, God has anointed you above thy fellows. I was even shocked. One guy I listened to who was in the occult. There was a realm he got to. He had to get married to one of the marine spirits. And before he got married with the marine spirit, he said, oh, once I've seen my spirit wife, there's nothing wrong with me sleeping with you. The spirit wife said that you can't sleep with me when you haven't done the rituals and the requirement for our marriage. A marine spirit. No, this is a marine spirit. These are people who stir people to fall into immorality, stir people to do evil. The marine spirit said, you can't touch me until you have done the rituals. Go and ask the juju men about their consecrations. Go and ask these Okonfo people about their consecrations. They tell them sometimes you can't have sex for 6 months. And they keep them. Why? Because they want to have power over men. They want to subject men under their civilization. They want to control men. Listen, if you want to control things, there is a high voltage price you need to pay. Authority is not handed over to loose men and loose women. No. There are some higher corridors of authority that can never be entrusted into your care. If you are not the believer who has come to a place where you literally hate iniquity and love righteousness, I can't partake of this. I shared with you on Friday, one of our members, I was speaking to her on Friday, and she told me something that shocked me. She received a job that was paying her $800. She went for the interview. In the interview, before they ended, they asked her, what does she think about cheating on her husband? And she said, I don't understand. Go straight into the details. What are you talking about? And they said, what you call, they mentioned a name, they call it in UK, but in Ghana, they call it hookup business. That was the business. And they have headquarters, and they have offices. So her job is to connect women to clients. Some are in US, some are in other parts of Europe. So the job is to connect people to do immorality, and they pay her $800. And she told her, I'm sorry, I can't do it. She walked away and went back to her job that doesn't pay well. Now, can you sacrifice? Can you get to a place where you have to lose your job because your boss wants you to compromise on your Christian values? Can you say no and walk away and live in hunger for 6 months, 1 year, because you chose not to compromise? When Joseph said, I will not sleep with Potiphar's wife, he was in prison for living a holy life. Hear me. When you are living pure, it's not every time that good things will happen to you. And that's what many Christians don't want. They don't want their hands to get dirty. They don't want anything bad to happen to them. They want to keep that comfortable life they are living. So what I will use to stay home for 1 year, let me just do it and ask for forgiveness. You won't go far. You won't go far. Right now, it's more difficult to trust Christian workers than Muslim workers. I'm teaching good here. Let's get into the word again. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, the verse 1. Now watch that. The Bible said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. Now this is not the finished work of Jesus Christ. Let us cleanse ourselves. So there's a time when you got to bath. You got to take a bath. You got to wash yourselves of impurities. He says, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Which means if you've come to a place and the fear of God is not in your heart, like I'm telling you, you can never perfect holiness. I fear God. I fear God. I want to come to a place when I've done ministry for 45 years, 50 years, pastoring you. I will one day hold the microphone and ask, is there any of you here as members of Christ Life Avenue that have ever touched you or held your buttocks before? I will ask that question after 50 years of ministry. If I've ever proposed to any female in this church, I want to get to that place. I want to get that place. I want to get to that place. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Fear of God. Next point. Why do we live in holiness? We live in holiness because that is how we grow spiritually and experience the Lord. That is how we grow spiritually and experience the Lord. Now, it's very important to understand that your spiritual growth is tied to your character. Your spiritual growth is tied to your conduct. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, the verse 1 and 2, normally believers read only the verse 2. But if you don't come to the verse 1, you won't understand verse 2. Now, come to the verse 2 first before we go to verse 1. Now, the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now, so it is normally assumed that when you read the word of God, you study the word of God, you will grow. But look at the verse 1. Before it comes to a place, listen, there is an atmosphere, there's an environment you must put yourself so that the word of God will help you to grow. The Bible says, wherefore, laying aside. So there are things you got to lay aside so the word of God can come alive. So he says, wherefore laying aside all malice, that is wickedness, and all guile. I think King James is really punishing us with all these words. Give it to me in NLT. I want to make the word of God simple. Now, he says, so get rid of what? All evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Which means your behavior, your speech, how you think can defile and affect your intake of the word of God. And you see, that's what Satan is doing. Satan keeps defiling Christians. So when they take the Bible, it will be dead in their spirit man. There'll be no life. There'll be no life. He says, lay it aside. Get rid of it. Then he says, as newborn babes desire. Oh, this is interesting. The Lord is sharing something with me. If you don't lay aside evil practices, it affects your desire. It affects your hunger for the Lord. Your appetite for God can be affected when you define yourself as a child of God. Next reason why we need to live pure lives, because it is a requirement for flourishing, for a flourishing fellowship with God. It is a requirement for a flourishing fellowship with God. James chapter 4, the verse 8 to 10. It is a requirement for a flourishing fellowship with God. If you want to enjoy a flourishing fellowship with God, there is a requirement. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Now, look at the requirements here in the next verse. The Bible says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, this is not referring to unbelievers, because the epistle itself were written to believing believers who had become double-minded. They had no stand, whether they were here or not. Look at the next verse. He said, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. So there's a requirement for coming into intimacy, for enjoying a flourishing intimate life with God. In the book of 1 John chapter 1, the verse 6 and 7. The Bible says, but if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Look at the next verse. He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. You know, there's an aspect of fellowship which is already a done deal. And there's also an aspect of our fellowship with God which must be done. He says, if we walk in the light, what does it mean to walk in the light? It means to walk in the word, to walk in purity, to walk and live a Christ-like life. He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The next point, we live holy lives so we can become useful to the Lord. We live holy lives so we can become useful to the Lord. Useful to the Lord. Come with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, the verse 18 to 22. We live holy lives so we can become useful to the Lord. Now, look at that. The Bible says, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is already past and overthrow the faith of some. Now, look at the verse 19. He says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ. Anyone who says, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, he's that one. He says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, what? Depart from iniquity. Depart from iniquity. Now look at the verse 20 now. He says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of what? Wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. In other words, let's take your house for example. There are different kind of bowls that you use based on the person that is coming to visit you. So he's saying that they are golden vessels. You know, you give those to honorables when they come and visit you. Your parents give them to honorables. And there are some other bowls that you just use to eat in the afternoon. It's not really that valuable. So the Bible is telling us the same, that in every great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earthen vessels. So some items in your home, the Bible says, are used for honorable purposes. You don't put your dustbin in your hall. In as much as your dustbin is important, it plays a role in the house. You don't put your dustbin in the hall. You don't put your mop in the hall. Are you following me? In as much as your mop is helpful. So there are items that are placed in honorable places. Have you noticed that your bedroom is very dirty, but when a visitor is coming, you clean your hall? And nobody enters your bedroom. Not because it is consecrated, but because you don't want to be embarrassed. You don't want to be disgraced. So you put, that's the place where honorable people, you know, sit. So you make the hall very nice for the person. It says, that's how it is in the kingdom of God. And all of us here are vessels. We can be vessels of honor, or we can be vessels of dishonor. We must choose one. Which kind of vessel you want to be? Ask the person beside you, what kind of vessel do you want to be? Ask another person, what kind of vessel do you want to be? A golden bowl or a sanka? Hallelujah. So the verse 21. Now observe this, the verse 21 quickly. It says, for if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared for every good work. Listen to me. You must be prepared before God can prepare you for every good work. God just does not use people for honorable purposes. No. There is nobody who is being used of God by chance or by luck. In the kingdom of God, luck doesn't happen. Write that down. In the kingdom of God, there is no luck. It's only principles plus the grace of God. In the kingdom of God, there is no luck. May I luck you? It works by principles and by the grace and mercy of God. So there's nobody in the kingdom of God who is lucky. No. If you don't obey spiritual principles, you will lose big time. Finally, we live pure lives because this is good. It denies Satan legal right to destroy us. It denies Satan the legal right to destroy us. We live holy lives because it denies Satan the legal right to destroy our lives. Which means that sin gives Satan a legal right to destroy you. Now, I'm not saying that if you're living in sin now, which means Satan will just automatically destroy you. I'm talking of an unconfessed sin. Now, listen, if there is a sin you commit and you don't quickly confess it to the Lord, you are giving a legal grounds to Satan to attack you. So you are living in unforgiveness and bitterness. What that bitterness is doing is that it is giving Satan legality. You are living in fear that you will die before your time. That fear is giving Satan legality. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, the verse 1 to 5, the Bible tells us that an angel stood before Joshua, the high priest. And the Bible says Satan was also at the right hand of Joshua to resist him. Look at that. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Which means that Satan, through his systems, through his demons, is always around believers waiting for a legality to attack them. Look at the next verse. Look, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest. He says, and the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is this not a brand plucked out of fire? Now look at it, verse 3. Now Joshua was clothed with what? Filthy garments and stood before the angel. The reason why Satan was having legal access to attack Joshua and accuse him was because of his garments. And hear me, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you receive a new garment. And that garment is white. I can show that to you in the book of Revelation. When you believe Jesus, a new dress, spiritually, white. When demons see you, they see the white cloth. That is why Satan is always enticing you to sin, because anytime you give in to sin, your clothes spiritually get dirty. So the reason why they can attack is because they see you by your garment. Listen, the spirit realm is very strange. You may be wearing clothes, but in the spirit you may be naked. So when a spirit sees you, he does not see your 5'5". He does not see your rosé. He does not see your spectacles. He does not see your heels. When a spirit sees you, he sees you by your weight in the spirit. He sees you by your garment. So if your garment is defiled, spirits don't respect you. That is why there's a time a man of God is doing deliverance and the demon insulted the man of God. I said, where are you? Meanwhile, this is an anointed bishop. You know why? Because there's no regard. Because he sees your garment. So the reason why Satan was ready to accuse was because his garment was filthy. Now, before we pray, I watched a video of an occult man who is now in Christ Jesus. And he was in this, he rose up to become an occult grandmaster. And he killed a lot of Christians. He killed a lot of pastors. He killed a lot of human beings. Plenty. There was a time he had one of the group he raised. They were killing 1,500 human beings every week. That was their target. So if we say we are doing soul winning, and then we are supposed to, every cell group is supposed to win 7 souls. What we are doing is the work of God. Because others in the kingdom of darkness are also recruiting. They are destroying people. They are bringing more people to hell. So they had a target. Bring 1,500 people to death. Shed their blood innocently. Every week. That's why, listen, we don't have time. You have to use your social media to propagate the gospel. You have to use every available means, your finances, everything, to make sure you are partnering in the work of the Lord. Because Satan is advancing with the money, advancing with the time, advancing with the resources to make it easy for people to come to hell. I'm teaching good here. So, he was an occult grandmaster for about 25 to 30 years. And when he got born again, by experience, he tried attacking certain Christians. It did not work. In fact, there was a time, if many of you know Archbishop Benson Idahosa, there was a time Satan gave him an assignment to bring that man down. And when he, anytime they went, the man was in a pool of the blood of Jesus. His whole body was dipped into blood, so he couldn't attack. So, he made an experiential research on what Christians do that makes them untouchable. Listen to me. It is not every Christian that is touchable. The Bible says your enemy, Satan, goes around seeking whom he may what? Devour. Which means some believers are devourable, some believers are not devourable. So I termed it, the blessed power of strong believers operates in the following factors. That's what he said. The blessed power of strong believers operates in the following factors. Which means his research that he did by experience. This one is not Buko. He tried attacking Christians and he could not attack them. And he went to do a research to find out why he couldn't attack the Christians. And the results he brought out is what I'm sharing with you. Which means he's saying that if these things are part of the believer's life, no witch can touch you, no occult can touch you, no marine can touch you, no power can afflict you. He says this is the blessed power by which they can't attack any Christian. Which means being a Christian is not automatic protection. You can break the hedge for the serpent to afflict you. Are you ready for this knowledge? You don't seem like you're... You let me just close so that we can... Are you ready for this knowledge? Hey, somebody is giving you a solution to make you Odeshi. They shoot you spiritually, the thing bounces back. They throw the arrow before they realize they targeted your heart, before they realize it was in their heart. He said they tried attacking thousands of believers. There were some they got, there were some they could not get. So if they attack a Christian, they can't get a Christian. They begin to observe the Christian. What is this believer doing that we can't touch him? What is this Christian doing that anytime we come, we see a pillar of fire? In fact, there was a time they said when they send them to come to the house of a believer at midnight to come and put sickness on the believer or to kill the believer. When they come and the believer is a prayerful Christian, by the time they come to the place, their house disappears and becomes a river. So, they were flying. They knew the location to your house. By the time they appeared in your house disappears and becomes a lake or a river. So, they can't find it. Then they leave. The next morning, they come physically to come and check that, this was the house. When they come, it's the same house there. Oh, this thing is serious. And hear me. One thing they said before I share is Christians who pray before they sleep. Don't joke with it. Kneel down with your children. Hold hands. Say, Father, we commit our spirit, our soul, and our body into your hands. We cover ourselves, our bed, our house, our porch, our gate with the blood of Jesus. And as we go to bed, let no demon have authority over our lives. Sleep and see. Let's see where the demon is coming from. You see, many Christians don't know this. That's what we are teaching you so you can practice them in your life. Sometimes you hear someone slept, he didn't wake up. I'm told on the 23rd of December last year, one area on the road, they didn't know what happened. They said the driver dozed off. And a huge articulator that was parked there, he was driving at top speed and he slept. And he entered under and the car became flat like brown bread. 13 people died except one child. My question was that, was there no Christian there who committed the journey? And hear me carefully, this thing is not far from you. He said that Adons, the occult men and the witches, they plant traps and they set traps. So he was advising Christians that before you go out, especially those of you who go out very early to work, hear me carefully. Hear me carefully. Those who move out, 5 o'clock, 4:30. He says they set traps so the early bird catches the worm. So if you are the first to go out, most people get those traps from there. He says every believer must cover his steps, the road he goes to work, with the blood of Jesus. You cover every part you use with the blood of Jesus. That is how you escape it. The road you go to work is covered by the blood. I'm prophesying to someone. I said the road you used to go to work is covered by the blood of Jesus. Your house is covered by the blood of Jesus. Your food is covered by the blood of Jesus. Your family is covered by the blood of Jesus. Your children are covered by the blood of Jesus. Your husband is covered by the blood of Jesus. Your wife is covered by the blood of Jesus. Your chair in your office is covered by the blood of Jesus. These things we are teaching are serious. You must do that. Even your shop, you must cover your shop with the blood. There was a woman who called me just some 2 days ago. I think the daughter is a member here. And she was sharing something with me here. She was having one of the fastest growing restaurants. Suddenly, she had a dream. In the dream, a small girl came and said, "Ama, pacho me beto eduanyo, but o shop no, yatum." The woman said, "Me shop ne bie." He says, "Pacho yatum." When she turned her back and she checked, her store was closed with a big padlock. Then she woke up. The second dream she had, she saw someone holding, she was holding chicken to go and prepare food to serve people. And all of a sudden, a black big dog held the chicken. When she was moving, the black dog has held the chicken and decided not to release the chicken for this woman. And she woke up. Listen, your shop can be open physically but spiritually locked. If you don't understand spiritual principles, listen, this world is governed by spirits. Did you hear what I said? It is governed by spirits. So listen, don't be casual. Don't be casual. Every single day, you have to make sure you are in alignment. You cover your house with the blood of Jesus. Your children, the blood of Jesus. You don't know who is feeding your children. The one feeding your children can be a witch. The name of the school can be called Salvation Academy and they will not be saved. So don't think because the name of the school is a Christian name or a Bible name, your children are safe. Your shop, they can write on your shop, "In God we trust." You still struggle. It's not the name. It is the altar that covers the name. I'm teaching good here. He said these are things that they noticed when they tried attacking believers and it did not work. They observed them and they noticed this is what they were doing. That's why they couldn't attack them. Are you ready? Number one, acts of righteousness. Acts of righteousness. Into bracket, good thought. Ajimpa. Which means watch your thought. The kind of things that goes through your thoughts. Wicked thoughts about people. Bad thoughts about people. You need to be very careful. Listen, sometimes people can hurt you, but be careful of planning evil in your mind for them. It can become a ground Satan can use to affect your life. So into brackets, good thoughts, good words, and good deeds. Some of you cursed your children without knowing. Adding to bonza, you sealed your child's doffness or dampness with your mouth. What Jimmy won't? Once you are telling your son he's mad, he'll be mad. So they check. Now, interestingly, one of the accounts I listened to, one woman carelessly said to the daughter when he was angry, "Nenimse kramai." And the witches of her family took the words and turned the daughter of the woman into a dog. That's when the child began to commit fornication. She goes to school. They pay her school fees. She's going to school. No, I fuck baby. No, I question my name. Yeah, me, I know I be fear. Because spiritually, dog represents immorality. So when she said, "When nimsa kramine," the child became a dog spiritually. Listen, most of you have said careless things. I have become so careful with my words. Be careful. If your child messes up, instead of insulting, bless the child. You can even whip the child in blessings. Yeah? This is not how you are. You are a great boy. You can't mess up. You are a big boy. You are a president. That one is better. They say, "Wait, Jimmy, shum, oya kwasiya, shum, ube hunde maya, shum, ende hunde fye, shum." By killing a child. Some of you, your children's destiny has already been determined by you at the age of 5 years. I'll watch the video. Listen, see, every time, when you are in church, learn. Don't just make note, learn. I watched a video of a husband who wakes up 4 o'clock, goes to do his morning devotion. When he's done, he will go to his children where their bed is, in their bedroom, and you lay hands on them, pray for them 10 minutes each. He go to the daughter, pray 10 minutes each. So one day the wife woke up and took a video when he was doing it. What a beauty. How can these children fail? How can these children's life become a life that doesn't bring glory to God? He was praying, laying hands on the children. Listen, you have responsibility with what you do with your words. So the acts of righteousness covers your thought, your words, and your actions. That's the first thing to check. So if they can't attack you, it's because number one, you are living in holiness. You are living righteously in your thoughts. So listen, when we are saying righteousness, we are not just talking about your doing. You can be righteous in your doing, but your thoughts are corrupt. Your words are corrupt. And hear me, gossip is a corruption of holiness. Slander is a corruption of holiness. You destroy people, things people have not done. You destroy them, say evil, so people will have evil intentions about them. Hey! Please, you need to check your life. Because some things you do can open doors for darkness. You can find believers who gather and their topic is pastor or pastors. Their topic is what went on in church. So instead of they coming to study the word of God, they are coming to get news. Can you imagine? You bought that car to come and get news and filler. We don't understand these things. I'm telling you, we don't understand. Can I shock you and tell you something? Stay away from people who talk about pastors. Because hear me, if the one laying hands on you and imparting to you, you defile him by your words against him. When he's praying for you, you go empty. I'm telling you something serious. When, see, there is no pastor who does not have a fault. I'm not saying it because anybody has done anything to me. I don't want to hear it. So someone says, hey, I'm preaching. I'm not preaching. I preach where I want to preach. Please, are you following me? That's like I'm at least. There's nobody here who's giving me 1,000 Ghana cedis every month. And even if you are giving, I'll still say it. Please, are you following what I'm saying? Hear me carefully. One of the things, see, if Satan knows that, you see the thing, waum bompai, waum fasti, osofo bompai amau. Hey! So it's like Satan just wants to set you up for destruction. Yes. And you need to be very careful. Don't be part of a conversation that defiles you by speaking against God's anointed. I'm telling you the truth. This truth in scripture. The hand feeding you, the hand blessing you, the hand giving you the word of life. There is something we call Anna. Give it to that man and his wife. So acts of righteousness, that's number one. Number two, constant and strong prayers in confidence and faith in Jesus Christ. Constant and strong prayers in confidence and faith in Jesus Christ. Constant and strong prayers in confidence and faith. They said if a believer is constant and strong in prayers, in confidence and faith in Christ Jesus, they can't touch that believer. Yesterday, my kid sister came to the house. She came to help us. And she showed me something that happened, a video of one lady who is a doctor. She was working in the airport. She had a flight to go. It's a local flight. So before she went, she was doing a morning devotion. And in a morning devotion, it was speaking about you not saying that you are going to do something the next day without committing it into the hands of God because you don't know the future. There's a scripture in James like that, right? Which says what? Okay, let's continue. So don't say you have plans to go and do this, because it is God that gives us grace, okay? So she said, after she did the devotion, she prayed a simple prayer and said, Father, don't let me go like the wind. Preserve my life and keep me. When she was done with the devotion, she went to the airport and then they went into a flight. When the flight took off, less than 5 minutes, they had some turbulence. In fact, it was raining. So everybody was saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Then the thing came back again. Suddenly the thing went again. All of a sudden, before she realized, she heard, boom, the plane had crashed. So her eyes was closed. When she opened her eyes, the same way she was on the seat belt in the plane was the same way she landed. Guess what? She was supposed to normally sit at the front of the flight. When she entered the plane, one of her friends who also worked at the same place, bearing the same name, Esther, called her and said, Esther, what are you doing? Come to the back. That was the first time, because she said she doesn't like delaying. So she sits in front, she gets down, bah, she's gone. She wants to sit at the back. When the plane crashed, every part of the front was completely gone, except the side where she was sitting, which was the last seat in the back of the plane. That was the only thing that was remained. And guess what? Everybody, including one governor and the 4 children, they all died. And that day, it was 105 people who boarded. Only 9 survived. And the 9 that survived were the 8 that were around her in the plane. Can you imagine, her prayer did not only cover her, it covered the people around her. Beloved, let me tell you something. Don't joke with your prayers. Don't joke with your prayers. I repeat, don't joke with your prayers. I repeat, don't joke with your prayers. Because you don't know what the day holds. Listen, you see, those of you who normally do routine activities, you go to work at Spintex, you go to work at East Lagos, so you know the car to board. You have been doing that for the past 10 years. A time will come, you will not see the value of praying, because you'll go and always come back. Don't be deceived. All days are not alike. All days are not alike, I'm telling you. So you will pray. He says the second thing that believers do they can't touch is what? Constant and strong prayers. You have to pray. Number 3, unquestionable confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ. Unquestionable confidence or faith in the blood of Jesus. Number 3, that's the third thing that when they see in the life of a believer, they can't touch that believer. Unquestionable what? Confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ. You believe in the redeeming power of Jesus Christ. You believe in the saving power of Jesus. You believe in the overcoming power of the blood of Jesus. Listen, use the blood of Jesus. Use it. I soak my house in the blood. My children in the blood. Every gadget I'm using in the blood. My feet in the blood. My car in the blood. Can you do that for 1 minute? Lift your voice. Every valuable thing in your life, including your body, soak it in the blood right now. Lift your voice. My body, my hands, my head, my intestines, my kidneys, my lungs, I soak it in the blood. Keep praying. You were here last 3 weeks where we delivered one lady whose spine had twisted. She brought the x-ray. Apparently, prophetically, they were using her spine for golf football in witches camp. They use her spine for baseball. So a part of your body can be under the manipulation of a demon. That is why you can cough. No matter the medicine you take, the coughing doesn't go. Strange sicknesses, you treat the sickness, it doesn't go. Your children are going through something, you have treated it, you have done it, it's not going. Cover them in the blood. Plead the blood over your house. Plead the blood over your gates. Plead the blood over your compound. Plead the blood over your chairs, over your kitchen. Plead the blood. Satan has lost. Plead the blood over your father in the hospital. Plead the blood over your mother. Plead the blood right now. Evil people in the office who have plotted your death. Witches in your family who have plotted that they will attack you in your dream. Cover them. Cover yourself. Cover your business in the blood. Cover your shop in the blood. Cover your car in the blood. Cover your husband in the blood. Cover your wife in the blood.
We cover this auditorium in the blood of Jesus. We cover the chairs in the blood of Jesus. We cover the instruments in the blood of Jesus. We cover the compound in the blood of Jesus. We cover the walls in the blood of Jesus. We cover the pillars in the blood of Jesus. We cover the washrooms in the blood of Jesus. We cover all the cars parked outside in the blood of Jesus. We cover the ushers in the blood. We cover the choir in the blood. We cover the ministers in the blood. We cover the pastors in the blood. Oh Jesus. Bolo frandes soni mikovas. Letitimo fakito sika lamdo sokivalo. Rabakomshi hende sufala baru dusi virimos. Karigos falabda nengus taparto filikaya. Bro shapanda kapeo shatai. Oh Jesus, and they overcame him with the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. As you are speaking, you are releasing a testimony. As you are speaking, you are releasing words of power. Yes, I cover my husband's business. I cover my wife's business in the blood. I cover my family house in the blood. What you are doing can save your family members. It can save them from shame and evil. I plead the blood. 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 In the name of Jesus, let's conclude. Please be seated. Can we rehearse it again? Number one is what? Acts of righteousness, which is what? Good thought, good words, and good deeds. Number two, constant and strong prayers in confidence and faith in Jesus Christ. Number three, unquestionable confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, don't let the day end without waging war with the blood of Jesus. Because the battle and the warfare is going on every single day. Number four, let's conclude. Fasting from time to time. Fasting from time to time. It is the fourth thing that occults, witches, demons are afraid of. They don't like it when a believer is fasting. They don't like it. Because you see, fasting takes you out of the flesh. Fasting is starving your flesh and starving your spirit. Fasting is hunger for God. Fasting is feasting on God. And this church, we believe in fasting. We've been doing fasting several times. I'm a believer of fasting. Apostle Paul, the apostle of grace, said in fastings often. So I love to fast often. You will fast at least twice a week. Every child of God must fast. I'm telling you. It must be constant. Listen, there are physical practices we do every single day, right? Like brushing our teeth, we do it every day. Bathing, we do it every day.
Eating, we do it every day. Likewise, there are spiritual practices that are supposed to be done constantly. One is prayer. The other is fasting. Except you have an underlying medical condition, every believer must give himself to fasting. 6 to 2, 6 to 4, 6 to 6. Practice it. And don't forget, from the 4th to the 10th, we are starting our first fast in a year. We have not fasted. Now, God has given us a new direction. So we are not doing the 40 days this year like we did. We are not doing the 100 days like we did. We are doing 7 days the first week, 7 days the last week, every month to the end of the year. So we are starting from the month of March. First 7 days, first week. Last 7 days, last week. Every month. Be a partaker of it. You will see fruit. Fast. It will change your life. Hallelujah. Number what? Number 5. Regular association with believers in fellowship in the house of God. Regular association with believers in fellowship in the house of God. Regular association with believers in fellowship in the house of God. That's the 5th thing that they can't stand. Demons can't stand. Christians who are constant churchgoers, they hate it. Psalm 27, the verse 4 to 7. It blew my mind when I saw that. That there are benefits of coming to church. And one thing one occult man said, he says, when believers lose their fire and they come to church, because of the fires of other believers, when they enter into those fires, they leave caught with the fire. So in case your fire is dead, in this service, you are going back with fresh fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after him, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Look at the next verse. He says, for in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Which is one of the benefits of coming to church, is that God hides you. In the secret of his tabernacle, shall he hide me. He shall set me upon the rock. Look at the next verse. He said, the next verse. And now shall my head be lifted above my enemies. Run about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises to God. Listen, there is a benefit of coming to church. That is why on Sunday it's very difficult getting up, but it's easier getting up to work. There are spirits that are assigned to ensure that many Christians don't go to church. Because the benefit that they gain, Satan doesn't like it. So number 5, regular association with believers in fellowship in the house of God. Number 6, regular songs of praise and preaching the gospel. That's what he said. He said, believers who sing praises. I'm not talking about the one that you do when you come to church. The one you do in your personal house, when you're going to work, when you're going to town, when you're about to sleep. Now imagine you wake up in the morning, this is what you are singing. Where is the demon coming from? You are about to sleep and you are singing, da 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 yebesum wo eje, da 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 yebesum wo da 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 ye nisika kra yebesum wo eje, da 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 eh yebesum da 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 yebesum wo na na. Hey. born in the month of September. Who is born in the month? I'm seeing a date like 11 September. Who is that? You are born on 11 September.
Yebesumo. Da da da.
Oh, yebesumo eje. Da da da. Can you worship the Lord? Oh, yebesumo. Da da da. Da da. Oh, yebesumo. Hey. Da da da. Yebesumo. Da da da. Oh, yebesumo na na na. Da da da. Yebesumo. Da 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 da. Ye ni sika kra yebesumo na na na. Da da. Yebesumo. Da 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 Kuma ri sunju nyumse enyo dada mi ya wudi mira ye. Come on, sing it. Something is happening in the atmosphere. Mi ya wudi ma kuma. As you're worshiping, something is happening. Me da wasio da. Come on, sing it. Come on, sing it now. Sing it. Come on, sing it. Odima fu. Come on, sing it. Yes, yeah. We have tested and tried. Hey. Where do you want your summer soon? Come on, sing it. Mishimuyi Yesu Christo ho na ye. Munshira nidin Kran krano. Wendi yawu Ohide na. Come on, sing it now. Ohide na. Jesus Christ, na ye. Oh, worship the King of Glory. Come on, sing it. Yatutumwa, come on. Yatutumwa. Oh, Asumjane. Come on, sing it. Yeshirawo. So Hine, oh Hine, oh Hine, oh Hine. Yes, she row. Yet to Why cry not to sell? Who is like to you, Jesus? Who is like unto you? What to me more? Why cry not to sell? As you gain it. Why cry not to sell? What to me more? Why cry not to sell? Why cry not to sell? Why cry not to sell? One cry not to sell. Let me sing a little. Open your eyes. One cry not to say, just close your eyes. One cry not to say, One cry not to say, don't be a spectator. See the Lord. One cry, 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 why cry not this hour? Why cry not this hour? Why cry not this hour? Oh, be this hour. The anointing of God's Spirit is here. Ulu shafala namigo. See the glory, see the angels. See His glory, see His glory. See the cloud that has gathered in this place. See the cloud. See the cloud. See the cloud of His glory. Worship. I see Jesus. He's here walking in our midst. Some of you will feel heat in your body. Some will feel something shaking in you. Glory to Jesus.